Okay, in the Tanyas it's 152 on the top. I don't know where it is in the English. Shayuchad Vamuna, second part of Tanya. On the top it's 152. There's some more big English Tanyas in the back if anybody wants. At the bottom it's 287 in the English. Okay, to start the two lines on top of Perek Aleph, because here the Alter Rebbe is bringing out the whole concept of what Shai Yichud V'Amunah is about. Literally, Shai Yichud V'Amunah is the gateway of unity and belief. When the Alter Rebbe was writing Tanya, the Alter Rebbe wanted initially to put Shai Yichud V'Amunah as the first part of Tanya. We know there's five parts of Tanya corresponding with the five Chumashim. When the Alter Rebbe was writing Tanya initially, the Alter Rebbe had a plan to put Shaira Yichud V'Amunah first before Lukutei Amorim, before the first part of Tanya. The Alter Rebbe changed it, but nevertheless, in Shai, the Rebbe brings down, in Shaira Yichud V'Amunah, the Alter Rebbe writes something, and he writes, as it will be explained later, and he's referring to the first part of Tanya. That means that even though the Alter Rebbe changed the order, but in a certain respect, Shaira Yichud V'Amunah comes before the first part of Tanya, and that's why the Alter Rebbe didn't change that thing that he wrote, as will be explained later, which he means the first part of Tanya. So he says, now what is Shaira Yichud V'Amunah about? So he says in the two little lines, Lahavin Mat Mizeir, the whole thing is to explain a little bit, to understand a little bit. Mashakosiv b'Zayar, what the Zayar says, that Shema Yisrael, the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is what's called Yichud Ilah, the higher level of unity. And Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Leilam Voed is Yichud Tata, the lower level of unity. Now, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is six words. Baruch Shem Kved Malchusei Le'elam Voed is also six words. The last word of the first sentence is Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Aleph Ches Dalet. The second pasuk, which is also six words, ends Baruch Shem Kved Malchusei Le'elam Voed Vav Ayin Dalet. So the first one is Aleph Ches Dalet. And the second was Vav Ayin Dalet. So the Dalet is the same in both. In Hebrew, letters are interchangeable through various different methods. There are letters that sound the same are interchangeable. Letters that you have at bash, like Aleph, the first letter is changeable for the last letter. Letters that come from the same part of the body are also interchangeable. Without elaborating how, but Vav is interchangeable with an Aleph, and Ayin is interchangeable with a Ches. So the word Voed really is the letters of Echad also. But it's not in an open form, it's in a hidden form. And therefore, Shema, the Zayah says that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is the higher level of unity, that God is one. Baruch Shem Kved Malchus Leilam Voed is the lower level of unity. So the Alter Rebbe says the whole Shaira Yichud V'Amunah is to explain what does that mean. What does it mean, the higher level of unity? And what does it mean, the lower level of unity? What does it mean in a practical language that the world is one with Hashem? What does higher and lower mean? So he starts in Perek Aleph. He quotes the Pasuk in Chumash that says, Yadayta Hayim, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, you should know today, Vashivesa Elevavechon, you should put to your heart, Kashem Hu Alekim, that God is God, Bashamayim Mimal in the heavens above, Bala Aretz Mitochas and in the earth below, Ein Eid simply means there's no other God. So basically, what is this Pasuk in Chumash saying? That not only should you know, but you should really, really realize. That means it's difficult, but you should really realize that God is God and there's no other God. That's the simple meaning of the Pasuk. So the Alter Rebbe asks, we have to understand, V'chisayla al daitach, would it ever enter a person's mind? Sheyesh alakim nishra b'mayim, that there's a God soaking in the water. Mitachas la'oretz, underneath the earth. Shatzarech li'zor kol kach, that you have to warn so much. V'ashivaysa elav avachot, that you should put to your heart. By definition, you can't have two gods. Because the definition of God is omnipresent, omnipotent, which in simple English, that doesn't speak English. God is all over the place. God is ultimately powerful. By definition, Hashem is everything. So how do you have two everythings? It's impossible. You can't have two gods. It's like this, the famous question, which is brought down, not in Chassidus, but around Chassidus, the famous philosophical question is, there isn't a thing God can't do. But we know God, there isn't a thing God, God is what's called kol yochel. God could do everything. So the question is, they always ask in great teasers, can God make another God? Because, by definition, a God can't be made. So, if God can't make another God, there's something God can't do. Or, can God make a stone that he can't pick up? So if he can't make the stone, you think he can't do something. And if you can make the stone that he can't pick it up, so then he can't do anything. He can't do something. So how do you think God could do everything? Right? The answer to that question is, it's a foolish question. It sounds cute, but it's a foolish question. Because it's like a question, can God make a square circle? It's not that God can't do it. A circle can't be a square, and a square can't be a circle. It's not lacking in God's ability by saying he can't make a square circle. Because you just can't have a square circle. You can't create another God. You can't make a stone that God can't pick up. It's not lacking in God, it just can't exist. So the question is, if by definition there can only be one God, so how could the Pasuk warn that you should think and know and put to your heart that God is God in the heavens above and in the earth below? Meaning, I would think there's a God somewhere underneath the earth. And the Torah says, no, you should know that there isn't. How could I think that there is? By definition, you can't have two gods. And in fact, Rashi really says it in Chumash. But what's the definition when the Torah says, Elokim Achedim, don't have other gods? So Rashi explains, it doesn't mean don't have other gods, because other gods can't exist. Rashi says, what does other gods mean? That others make them God. Not other gods. Other gods can't be. Elokim Achedim means that Achedim, other people, make them gods. But they're not gods. So the Rebbe is asking a basic question. How does the Torah have to warn us to such an extent that you shouldn't believe that there's another God? It can't be. So why do I need to warn me so much that you're not allowed? So he says as follows. Hine ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, La'elam Hashem dvar chonitzav b'shamayim. It says in Tillim, that forever, God, your words are standing in the heaven. So the Baal Shem Tov explains, what does this mean? What does it mean that God, your words, are standing in the heaven? What words? What words of God, and what does it mean standing in the heaven? So he says, Dvar Choshamarta, the words that you said, Yehi Rokia Betech Hamayim, Betech Hashemayim, let there be a firmament in the sky. Teves va'asius elu. These words and these letters. Heim nitzaves va'emdes la'elam are standing constantly b'teich rakia shemayim within the heaven. Meaning as follows. And the Rebbe explains, by the way, that this is not from the Baal Shem Tov. This is a medrash tanchuma. It's a medrash tilim. It's in a bunch of medrashim. Why does the Alter Rebbe quote the Baal Shem Tov? Because the Baal Shem Tov was the one that elaborated on it and brought it out as a fundamental concept in Yiddishkeit. But before we even get to understand what the Alter Rebbe is saying, we need to first give an introduction of a basic concept in Torah, and that is, as it says the expression in Chassidus, Tzemach Tzedek writes the expression, it's necessary for a person, lahafshit hadvarim migashmiyusam. When you speak about God, you need to not to remove it from the physical coarse language that you're using. From the physical world, for instance. When the Torah says at the beginning of Chumash, God said, let there be light. To say that God has a mouth and God speaks, according to the Rambam, is apikursis. You are a non-believer. If somebody believes that God has a hand and God has a foot and God has a nose and God has eyes, in a physical sense, they are an apikratus, they are a complete non-believer in God. But the Torah says God spoke, and the Torah says Yad Hashem, and Etzba Lekim, and the Torah says Hashemayim Kisi. If you listen to the Pesach Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Hashemayim Kisi, Hashem says, the heavens are my seat, and the earth is where I put my feet. You know, God sits on the chair, which is the heaven, and he puts his feet on the stool. So that's the earth. Now, God has feet. God sits. God stands. God sleeps. So what are all these expressions in Torah? So Chassidus explains, the Rambam alludes to it also, a lot of Mefarshim allude to it. Chassidus explains that it's not, God forbid, that Hashem has a mouth and Hashem speaks. What does it mean? We have to remove it from the physicality, from the physical coarseness of our understanding. It doesn't mean Hashem has a mouth. What it means in Chumash, when it says Hashem spoke, Hashem is speaking in human terms. Meaning, by understanding what speech is in human terms, we can understand what does it mean when the Chotayra says, when the Chumash says, God spoke. By understanding the function of a human hand, we can understand what does it mean when it says in Chumash, the Jew saw the hand of God. What does it mean? What is the concept of a mouth? The concept of a mouth, of speech. What is speech? Speech is to reveal something which was hidden. Meaning, you think, you speak. What I think, you don't know. If I want to reveal to you what I'm thinking, so I have to say it. And that's why, as Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, thought, speech, and action are three garments of the soul. What does it mean, three garments of the soul? Just like in order to go out, you need to wear clothing. In order for the soul to reveal itself, it needs the garments. What are the garments? Thought, speech, and action. For instance, if you have a feeling of love, you love somebody. That love, when you're at work, yeah, you definitely love the kids. When you're away from them, for sure you love them. Now, when you love the kids, let's say, so at that point, the love exists, but it's not revealed. It's hidden. You're not thinking about the kids. If you want to reveal love, the attribute of love that you love somebody, so if you want to reveal it to yourself, you think about it. You think about them. If you want to reveal it to somebody else, because what you think that you love them, nobody's going to know. How do you reveal it to somebody else or to the kids? You say, I love you. How do you reveal it into something else? By doing an action, giving a kiss. But the midah is there, the feeling is there, or somebody knows that 2 and 2 is 4. But when they're doing something at work or they're eating, they don't think 2 and 2 is 4. That doesn't mean they don't have the seichel. The intelligence is there. But it's buried, it's hidden. You want to reveal it, you have the three garments. You either reveal it to yourself by thinking, so it's a revelation, but it's only to yourself. If you want to reveal it to somebody else, then you have to speak it. So therefore, in Chumash, when it says Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, does not mean that all of a sudden God opened his mouth with his nice smile that he had with his cosmetic dentistry, and Hashem says Yehi Or. That's not what it means. What it means, Vayomer Elokim, means as follows. Hashem has a power to create light. Hashem has a power to create light. But it wasn't revealed. Vayomer Elokim, Hashem revealed, like speech reveals. Hashem revealed the power that he had to create light. Vayehi Or, and light became created. So basically, what is the speech that the Torah is discussing? Speech is a revelation of godliness. That revelation of godliness, that power of God that created the heavens, the Baal Shem Tov explains, is what the Pasuk is saying. That power is constantly within the heaven, keeping it existing. And he's going to explain, because if Hashem's power would leave the heaven for a second, it wouldn't be. So when the Pasuk says, Le'elam Hashem, forever God, Dvarcha Nitza Bashmayim, your words are standing in the heaven, what words are we talking about? The power of Hashem that He created the heaven with, that power is constantly in the heaven keeping it existing. Because if it would leave for a second, the world would disappear.
What is it? Hashem, hand or finger?
Hand is to give something. When you give something, you usually give it with the hand. So you can have the right hand, and you have the left hand. So normally, the right hand is the concept of giving something generous, yamin mikareves, the right hand that brings closer, and the left hand, which refers to punishment. So when it says, Yad Hashem, meaning just like the hand gives, so when Hashem gives, it's called the Yad. Now a finger is also part of the hand, but it's a much lesser level of giving. So therefore in Egypt, the plagues were only a revelation of Hashem of Etzba. It was like a very limited revelation of God. It was only a finger. And by Kriyas Yamsuf, they saw the hand of God. Meaning, five times, as we say in the Haggadah, five times the greater revelation than they saw in Mitzrayim itself. So all the aspects of Hashem, and therefore, by the way, when Hashem does kindness, the Torah uses the word the right hand. When Hashem does punishment, the Torah refers to the left hand of Hashem. And therefore in Oz Yashir, we say, Yemincha Hashem Nadari Bakayach, Yemincha Hashem Tiratzayif. So Rashi says, what's the double Yemincha? God has only right hand. So it says, by Kriyas Yamsuf, God's left hand became a right hand. Meaning, the attribute of Gvura became Chesed. First of all, it depends what age kids. Secondly, kids at that age don't have to understand it.
Because they ask me, well, Hashem came, Hashem has a hand, Hashem can walk.
So you explain to them, kids can understand. Just like if you want to give something to your friend, you have to give it to them with your hand. So when Hashem gives us something, we use the term that Hashem gave it to us with his hand, but he doesn't have a hand. You explain to the kids, you wake up in the morning, God gave you life. If you have food to eat, God gave you food to eat. How did God, who gave it to you? Your parents are God's shluchim to give you the food. The doctor is God's shliach to heal you. Who's really healing you? Hashem. The doctor is only the shliach. And that's why there's the famous sikh, which we learned in the past, that when a kid goes to cheder, you know, you bring what's called achnosa lecheder, and you bring a kid for the first time into cheder, so the minig used to be, and there still is in many places, you wrap the kid up in a talis. And we discussed this, by the way, in chinuch. You wrap the kid up in a talis, and you bring him into cheder, and you put him down in the chair, and you open up whatever it is. And you see Aleph, and the kid says Aleph. And all of a sudden candies start flying from all over the place. And the kid gets all excited, and you tell the kid, you know who gave you these candies? Malach Michal, the angel Michal gave you the candies. There's a story with Rabbi Marash that he didn't want to throw away the candies because he was holy candies, the Malach Michal. So the Rebbe explains in the Sicha, the Rebbe asks a fundamental question, the worst rule in Chinuch is you don't lie. So what do you mean you're lying to a kid, Malach Michal, when you know that you threw him the candies? Or the whoever threw him the candies. But definitely the Malach didn't come and throw him the candies. So the Rebbe asks, how do you lie to a child? It's the worst thing in Chinuch is to lie. The Rebbe explains, it's not a lie, it's true. Malach Michal is giving the candies to the parent. But who is actually giving the, what's the source of giving the candies? Is the concept of Malach Michal. Therefore, I don't know how many of you say Pasach Leo Friday afternoon, before Shabbos Mincha. But over there it says, Chesed Draya Yamina. Chesed is the right hand of God. Gvura Draya Smola. Gvura is the left hand of God. Now what does it mean again, God's right? Because again, the concept of right hand is symbolized by people giving kindness. So Chesed, which is the act of kindness of Hashem, is called God's right hand. Gvura Draya Smola. Gvura is the left hand, because what's the source of Gvura in a spiritual world is of a hand is Gvura Vatsilas. In other words, the left hand of a person in a spiritual source is Gvura Vatsilas. What's the source of the right hand of a person? Chesed of Vatsilas. So therefore he's explaining as follows, that the Pasuk says, L'elam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav Hashemayim, which means that forever Hashem, your words are standing in the heaven. Meaning, that power of Hashem that created the world is constantly within the world. As we progress in Shayuchat V'Amunah, we'll see a deeper concept over here also. There is a concept of speech, which is a very, very, very limited revelation of godliness. And if you notice, in creation, everything in the world was created with speech. Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim. Which, as we all know, when you talk and air comes out, basically, you can talk for hours and hours and hours and you don't have a problem. Especially Lashon Hara on the telephone. That was for you. Now, if a person blows, it also is air coming out, but you get very tired. What's the difference? Because when you talk, the air, the revelation, is a very external, limited revelation. When you blow, you feel your whole innards are coming out. This is what we spoke about before in the Halachot of Shabbos. When Hashem created the world, when the Torah uses the expression, He spoke, it means Hashem, as creator, is not the primary level of godliness. In fact, it's an extremely limited, minute, nothing level of godliness that created the world. When Hashem speaks about the neshama, and He speaks about Hashem blew into Adam, and again, not that He blew with His mouth, it means Hashem revealed His essence into Adam Rishon, which refers to the neshama of a yid, which is a chelak alakamima, which is actually a part of Hashem. So that is a much deeper revelation. So during the week, Hashem's relationship with the world is very, very, very limited. And Shabbos, when Hashem stopped creating, in fact, Chassidus uses the term, now we can understand it a little bit better, I was just waiting for now to say it. During the week, Hashem's relationship with the world was through speech. Shabbos, it's thought. Because based on what we're learning now, if Hashem stopped creating the world on Shabbos, why doesn't it disappear? If Hashem's speech would leave the world for a second, meaning, if Hashem stopped creating for a second, the world wouldn't be. So why doesn't the world disappear on Shabbos if Hashem stopped creating? So the answer is, Hashem stopped creating with speech. But now the world on Shabbos is created with a higher level of machshava, of thought, meaning a deeper revelation of Elokus.
Where we see the action of Hashem.
Huh?
Action
exists in the world after he created it. There's action. Kulam b'chachma sisa. There was an action also that it came into something else when the world was created. It came into something else when the world became an existence and an entity by itself. That's the level of action. But the creation came about through speech. Shabbos, the world is on a higher level. It's the level of machshava. Meaning, there are words and thought too. Because when you think in words. Those are also revelation of Elokus. But it's a much greater hidden level of Elokus than the level of creation that happens through the week.
Why what? Can a person can do in Machshava the plan of the whole week on Shabbos?
Why can't you?
Yeah.
The reason why you're not allowed to is because Shabbos is higher than world. And our world is not the spiritual world. By the way, this explains another very interesting the Gemara. Believe it or not, the Gemara says, on Shabbos you technically shouldn't be allowed to speak. But if you think about it, if Hashem stopped creating with speech, then we shouldn't be able to speak on Shabbos. And the Gemara, by the way, says, the Gemara has an expression, Bekushi. With great difficulty, he tido ladaba divrei Torah b'Shabbos. The Gemara says, with great difficulty, they permitted to speak Torah on Shabbos. But conceptually, even though most talking in the social life goes on in shul during davening on Shabbos, but conceptually, a person shouldn't speak on Shabbos, because if Hashem created with speech, we also shouldn't create with speech.